Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
We've been doing a teaching that we titled Living from the Plane of Reality. Glory to God. And I have taken time to share with us a few things in the last 2 weeks. In fact, we took our time to explain what reality is. And I said, in understanding this subject, there are three major things you must understand. Number one, you must understand facts. Number two, you must understand reality itself. And then number three, I say you must understand what a realm is. Glory to God. And I said the fact is actually an event or a thing that has verifiable evidence. Glory to God. It's an event or it's a thing that can be verified within a definite context. When you find something that can be verified within a definite context, you are dealing with a fact. Nonetheless, I said realities are superior to facts. Because while facts are true, reality is truth. And there's a difference between true and truth. The major difference between true and truth is the consistency that exists when contexts are altered. A fact can be true within a context, but when the context is altered, a fact may no longer hold sway. And so when you find something that holds sway, regardless of the context, then you are dealing not just with a fact, but with a reality. Glory to God. There are certain things that are true on earth, but when you get to heaven, they lose credibility. Praise God. Even within the earth's region, there are things that are true within a location or within a context, but when the context is altered, the facts begin to vary. Glory to God. I used a physics phenomenon to explain to us last week the concept of a mirage. And I said if you are driving on a dark on a quota and you see from a distance on a sunny day, you will have an experience of what looks like a water body on the road. But you see, when you advance close to that location, you will discover there's no water there. So when the distance is withdrawn, you will see that that is not a fact, it's a mirage. Glory to God. It's no longer a reality, but it's just what? A mirage. So when you are living, there are certain things that you may build your life on that may be factual, but they may not be realities. This is the undoing of humankind. Most times, we live based on information. Information that circumstances, people, or location provide us. And then we run our lives based on this information. But unfortunately, when circumstances are altered, you see that this information no longer have authority for which our lives should be built upon. Hallelujah. This is why beyond the facts of our immediate environment, beyond the fact of our immediate experience, we go from true to the word of God, which is truth, that holds sway regardless of circumstances. Praise God. Are you following me so far? For instance, you can look at a man who does not have money, but from the plane of truth, God says that man is blessed. Whether he has money or not is not an issue. The fact may be that his life may appear low today, but from the realm of God, he is seated in heavenly places. That's why you cannot define a man based on the immediate circumstances. The circumstances are facts, undeniable evidences. But the truth is that that man that appears low is actually seated in heavenly places. And the day he realizes that, he will have the power to convert its immediate circumstances to align with what God says. So actually, the authority that reality has over fact is that reality can be superimposed over fact. Praise God. Because reality is consistent regardless of context, regardless of time, regardless of circumstances. And so God wants us to live from reality and not fact. Praise God. You know, there are many people that live from fact. Oh, they have pain in the head and they say all is not well. But the Bible says, say unto the righteous, it is well with you. So all is well because beyond the pain I feel, I live from another realm. And I have the power to superimpose the reality of that realm into my immediate circumstance, and my immediate circumstance will have no choice but to align. Glory to God. I may be living without money at the moment. It doesn't mean I'm useless. The fact may be that because I don't have money now, I don't really have use. But you see, from the plane of reality, my value is beyond what's in my pocket. Glory to God. I may not have money, but the Bible said I am a blessing to many generations. So I know that I am a blessing, even though it does not yet appear. But I know that's my reality. This is why the Bible says when men are cast down, that is fact. It says when men are cast down, circumstances can cast men down. Situations can cast men down. It says, but you say there is a lifting up. So the fact is that men are cast down, but the reality is that what? There is a lifting up. So we don't live from the realm of fact. We live from the realm of reality. Glory to God. And I said, it's important to also understand what a realm is. A realm is actually the context where reality finds expression. Praise God. The reality finds expression within a realm. The fact finds expression within a realm. So the realm, or a realm, is a dimension, is a context where both fact and reality find expression. In fact, I took time to explain to you the four realms of fact and the four realms of reality. Glory to God. I said the fact reality operates in four realms. And I said, number one, the first realm of fact is what we call the realm of the flesh. Those who live by their fallen nature. So their fallen nature dictates for them how they should live their lives. So anything they feel like, whether it is consistent with God's kingdom and God's nature, it does not matter. So long as the fallen nature desires it, they jump on it and they start operating from there. These ones live in the realm called the carnal or the flesh realm. And the end product of people like this is death and destruction. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 and verse 6. The Bible said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It said, but they that are after the spirit, they mind the things of the spirit. Glory to God. He said, if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we live after the spirit, he said, we shall live. Glory to God. So the first fact realm of existence is the fallen realm. So the guy is married, but he sees a lady that he likes. And so he feels like having an affair with the lady. And so there is no kingdom justification for it, but he's driven by flesh. And so he goes to do it. How can you deny the fact that he had an emotion? No. But you see, he's living from a lower realm. That he had an emotion towards another lady does not mean he has the justification to pursue after that emotion. But you see, he's in the realm of fact. If you ask him, he says, I don't know. I like her. I feel like. You don't engage people because you like them. You engage people because there are ordinances that justify it. Glory to God. But the guy is living in the carnal realm. The second people that live in the fact realm are those we say are living and powered by fear. There are people you see that are powered by fear. Why those who live by the flesh are powered by pleasure? Those who live by fear also exist. These ones, anything that intimidates them becomes the government over their lives, becomes the predominant force over their life. And they function like that. And because they function like that, what they fear eventually happens to them. Job chapter 3 verse 25. We saw that Job was a wealthy man. In fact, the Bible said he was the greatest of all men from the east. In fact, the devil was aware that God created a hedge around Job that preserved his life. Nonetheless, Job was living in fear. There was abundance, but he was not living in abundance. He was living in fear. And when he was eventually attacked, he said, the things that I greatly feared has befallen me. Why is this a fact? Because if you fear anything, it will happen to you. It doesn't mean that was God's plan for you. But because you are living in a realm of fear, that thing will eventually manifest in your life. So it's a realm where people live. If you live by pleasure, it will happen. If you live by fear, it will happen. And then number three, I said, there are those who operate from the fact realm of logic. So they rationalize things mentally. So long as it is mentally correct, that's how they will live their lives. There is nothing else you can tell them. They have accessed it logically. It makes sense to them. So that's what they should do. But that's not how we live. Those of us who live from reality, there are different forces that dictate how we live our lives. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 5 to verse 6, it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It said, lean not on your own understanding. It said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Those who live by logic, they live based on calculations. So when they see things, they analyze it, and on the strength of the analysis, they live that way. If you like, show them what God says. It doesn't make sense to them. They are living in the fact realm because their life is the product of their logical calculations. That realm is a fleeting realm. It will disappear. Glory to God. And then finally, for those who are fact-based people, they live by sight. Those are the people that tell you seeing is believing. Until they see it, it's not real. No matter what you tell them, if they've not seen it, you are just making noise. That's the Thomas people, the Thomas dimension. Until I see his hands and see where the nails pierced him, I won't believe he rose from the dead. Even though the Bible said it, Jesus himself declared it, Thomas said it's a lie. I have to see first. Do you know people like this? They may call themselves Christians, but they are living from facts. They are not living from reality. This is why, although they may be religious, the devil has authority over them. It's when they are in crisis that you will now know what their true reality is. They were living by fact. You saw Job. You would think Job was a man of faith. You would think Job was living from heaven. It was when he was struck that you now realize all the while he was living in fear. All the while, it was fear that powered all his actions. Even when Job prayed, it was fear. When his children come back from going out, Job would go and carry out sacrifices for all of them. It was fear. He was literally living by fear. And there are people that live by logic. God speaks, they say, oh God, relax. So this is your God talk. Me, I know they're there. Until they can analyze it and it makes sense. They are logical people, intelligentsia people. It has to be brain for it to be reasonable. Glory to God. But you see, you are dealing with ancient spirits. Your brain is not sufficient to order your life. Your life came from an aeon that is older than time. Your purpose was corrupted before human existence ever began. Everything you are supposed to do was curated by the intelligence of the Most High before you were ever born. How can you now come into time and judge the outcome of your life based on this little mask inside your skull? Then a demon comes and looks at you and says, oh, you are a professor. Okay, let's show you some things from a superior order. Professor is now traveling. He doesn't know why and how the car somersaulted. He said, but I was not speeding. I serviced this car yesterday. What happened? What he didn't know is that somebody on IT from the belly of the water came to test how to use arrows. Arrows. So she shot an arrow. She's doing IT. But professor in time, professor of neurosurgery. A neurosurgeon is dumbfounded by an IT student from the water. Because that one is operating by spirit forces. The things he has at her disposal is superior to anything that your brain can galvanize. Am I saying don't use your brain? No, that's not what I'm saying. You must use your brain because God gave you your brain for a purpose. But I am saying there are superior realms. You must know how to stratify the realm and order your life accordingly. Your brain can't lead you. The Bible said it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. That means you have other faculties that are not physical, but they are real.
You have other faculties that you may not touch, but they are superior to the things that you can touch. And that's why when God created you, there were faculties within you that are locked within God and came alive after you entered God. Glory to God. So you must learn to live from reality. You must learn to operate from reality. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Why sight is fact? Why we don't deny sight? We have other realms superior to the realm of sight. And so if you are walking in the realm of fact, when the evil day comes, you will be disadvantaged. Because Satan is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. So those of us who are sons of light, we must learn how to migrate beyond the physical realm and enter into the spirit realm. Because there is a superior order than what we have today. And so that's why I said, beyond the fact realm, there are also the realms of reality. And if you come into the realm of reality, there are three major realms in reality. Number one is the realm of faith. When you come into reality, the first realm you will meet is the realm of faith. You know, Jesus was talking to them in John 16:13. He said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. He said, how be it when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all reality. So God expects you and I to live from reality. He knows that because we are in the body, the factual realm will be very real to us. But he expects us, through the agency of the Word and the Spirit, to migrate beyond the factual realm and come into realm where things are consistent for all eternity. And the first dimension you will meet there is what the Bible calls the realm of faith. That's why Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 said, they justified. Not everybody. If you are a human being, you are permitted to live from the realm of logic. If you are a human being, you are permitted to live from the realm of sight. If you are a human being, you are permitted to live from the realm, any other factual realm. But he said, if you are justified, if you are among those that have been called into the family of God, he said, they justified, they shall live by faith. Because if you don't live by faith, the things arrayed by God for your advantage, you may not be able to access them. You know, the thing with realms and dimension is that they are all in the same place, but they are farther away than eternity is from time. You know, as we are in this room now, there is radio wave, there is television wave in this room. But you need certain utensils to be able to access it. Hope you know that transmissions are ongoing here that your eyes can't see. Because your eyes were not prepared or trained to access them. There are transmissions going on here beyond the frequency of sound that your eyes, your ears cannot pick. For you to access those transmissions, you must be able to access or create other antennas that can access them. Now, what God has prepared for you is in a realm, but it will take faith for you to access it. That's why two believers can sit in the same auditorium. One is accepting what faith provides. The other one is completely alienated from it and is wondering, why is your own life so good? God is not a respecter of persons. God is not favoring one over the other. The question is, where are you living from? He said, the just shall live by his faith. And that's one scripture that was replete in scripture. In fact, verbatim in four places. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 3:11. Acts 10:38. The just shall live by faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Because if you don't walk by faith, there is something in God called favor that you can't access. So why two of us can enter the business meeting? All of us study economics. All of us understand marketing. We understand strategy. We understand communication. We know how to leverage time. We know how to leverage people. In addition to that, one is clothed with favor. So when he enters and everything human fails, there is another power that he carries that is invincible that can cause the tides to turn in his direction. Because those ones, they are not earthly resources. They are heavenly. Hope you know that when the king wanted to choose a virgin, all of them were beautiful. In the days of Esther, all of them used the same cream. All of them dressed well. All the maidens showed up. But you see, when 10 people gather and they are all beautiful, then beauty loses power. At that point, eyelashes can't work. At that point, foundation and mascara cannot work. High heel can no longer work. So when Esther came out, that was when the other maidens remembered that beyond the royal apparel, there was another garment she wore called favor. Because when the king saw her, the Bible said it was favor the king saw. See, there are superior realms. That's why the Bible tells you, come out hither. Come out hither. You are going for a job interview. All you have is certificate. All you have is English language. Meanwhile, somebody else came chewing something from the shrine that will confuse the interviewer to pick him. And you who came from light, meanwhile, light shines in the darkness. Darkness comprehends it not. But you came from light without faith. So you cannot draw the things that light has to offer. See, from this service, something will activate inside you. We walk by faith. That's why the Bible told us, in the journey of life, there will be mountains. It says, but the man who walks by faith, mountains don't stop him. It says, there's a mountain before you. You don't beg God. You command the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast. So, what stopped another person for 10 years? You passed, you didn't notice. Because that one came by human intelligence. You came by mountain. The guy tells you, I'm a banker, but I don't know. In the last 10 years, this has happened, that has happened. Another banker comes, and the same mountain that stopped one for 10 years, this one kicks it out. Get out of my way. I'm going somewhere. There's a destiny to fulfill. One says, I'm a businessman. This guy says, I'm also doing the business. How come you are prospering? I'm not prospering. Where are you living from? You must enter the realm of faith. And it is possible. It says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The more you are exposed to the word, the more that realm opens to you. We have wealth in light. The Bible calls it the riches of glory. Riches. We have riches in glory. But many believers are not accessing it. Because they are not living in the realm. If I had time, I would have shown you 12 dimensions of the riches of glory. You know, there's something called utterance. That when you are talking, spirit energized communication. It gives excellency to your speech. It gives illumination to your speech. It gives authority and power to your speech. That when you talk, people are compelled. Anakazo. They don't know why. They can't forget what you said. Not because what you said was so novel, but there is an energizing of the spirit. And then sometimes it comes with light. When you talk, people look at you and they are wondering, how did you connect these phrases? By what intelligence are you talking? What is on your tongue that makes your words like the pen of a ready writer? It's called utterance. That's where you talk beyond your expertise. You talk beyond your age. You talk beyond your experience. There are realms in faith. But how many are walking in it? Do you know the Bible said, called something an exalted horn? It's called influence. 10 people can come to a place. You come, they can't forget that you came. What is that thing that is on that person? They say, my horn has thou exalted. Psalm 92 verse 10. My horn has thou exalted. So 3 people are singing. One sing, it goes global. 2 people are preaching. One preach, it goes global. 2 people have business. One start his own. After 5 years, it goes global. And the other one is wondering. No, the business principle is foundational. All of us will apply it. The intelligence quotient is foundational. All of us must have it. We must understand the universal laws. But beyond the universal law, where is your perfume? Where is your oil? Where is your influence? That's why you cannot afford to live in the realm of fat. There are arsenals. There are accessories in the realm of God that God has prepared for you. The Bible says, eyes has not seen, neither ears heard, nor has he occurred to the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that love him. You love him. Why are you like this? You are living from a wrong location. If you like, run to America. If you like, run to Dubai. All those territories have their own leverages. But believe me, if you don't take advantage of the things that are in God, you may not amount to much. We walk by faith, not by sight. Number 2, I said, realm of reality is the realm of the spirit. The Bible speaks about the realm called the realm of the spirit.
or living in the spirit. The moment you got born again, you were admitted into the realm of the spirit. But the question is, are you living from there? Romans 8:9. The Bible says you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. If you have the life of God. But Galatians 5:26, the Bible said, if you say you are in the spirit, walk in the spirit. And how do you walk in the spirit? It's by discerning and yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's how you walk in the spirit. You are admitted into the spirit when you are born again, but you walk in the spirit when you are yielded to the Holy Spirit. And yieldedness to the Holy Spirit is what makes you invincible. That's why you will be in the right place at the right time. That's why the lines fall onto you in pleasant places. That's why you are cut off. You are separated from what should have cut you off. See, sometimes you are about to step out and the Holy Ghost says, wait. And you don't know why he said wait. Then you drove out later. The road you were supposed to pass, there's a ghastly accident. You were just ransomed from death. See, sometimes you are resting and the Holy Ghost puts pressure on your soul to stand up and to go somewhere. Sometimes for an event that you were not invited. And based on your principle, you don't go to where you are not invited. But the Holy Ghost says, go there. And then you show up there. And then you meet somebody who begins a conversation with you that changes your destiny. And you are wondering, based on my principles, I shouldn't have come here. For the spirit is the governor of the realm. You know the problem with many people? They are living based on mental analysis. That's why they end up like Lot. You know, when Abraham was supposed to separate with Lot, the Bible said, Lot looked at the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said they were green and good for cattle rearing. And he chose there. But when Abraham was to leave, Genesis 13:14, the Bible said, Abraham lifted up his eyes. We don't choose by geographical parameters. We choose by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When Abraham lifted up his eyes, both Sodom and Gomorrah, and then every other part of the world was with them. Abraham. That was why when God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, although Lot was inside Sodom, Lot didn't own Sodom. It was Abraham that was not in Sodom that God came to and told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Why is that so? Because God has already given Sodom to Abraham. So God will not destroy Sodom without consulting Abraham. Can you imagine the irony? Lot was in Sodom. He was not consulted. Abraham was outside Sodom. Abraham was consulted. The same Sodom that Lot was commanded not to turn to look at. Abraham was watching Sodom. Lot's wife turned and became a pillar of salt. Abraham was looking and nothing happened. Because one is a tenant. Another one is landlord. I'm showing you, see, there are mysteries that rule this realm. I know you are a banker. I know you are a businessman. I know you are a lecturer. I know you are in the marketplace, but you don't go there judging only by the senses. You must be led. You must have faith. There are many projects you will not dare to embark upon unless beyond mental analysis there is faith in your spirit. And there are many meetings you will enter and end up paralyzed except as you are led by the spirit. This is why a believer must be careful where he lives from. But you know our problem? We are only interested in physical geography. They told me that if I'm living in Canada, I will succeed. If God is leading you, rush. But if God is not leading you, it is not more urgent to get Canadian visa than to seek God's will. That energy you are using to get visa, better invest it and know God's will first. Because I told you, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Before you face where God is not going. Glory to God. Then, number three, those who are in the realm of reality, they live from the plane of love. That's the nature and the character of God. That's why God, the realm, opens them up to the dimensions of God. In John 14:21, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he said, they that love me, I and my Father will come and tabernacle with him. John 14:21, John 13:35. So those who live in the realm of love, or live by the dictates of love, they've ascended beyond the realm of fact. They have come into the realm of reality. This is how we live. This is how we function. This is how we dominate this aeon on the behalf of God. If you are a believer, it doesn't matter if you don't miss church service, because you can attend every church service as a religious man. The Pharisees kept church attendance more than you. As a believer, it matters what you know. It matters the quality of your consecration to God. And it matters where you are living from. I don't have time to deal with the others, but our emphasis is living from reality. So by all means, as a believer and a child of God, you must live from the realm of faith. You must live from the realm of the spirit. And you must live from the realm of love. There are many other layers to this truth, but I just kept it at these three, so that you, at least you gain some level of mastery. Because your destiny is too consequential to live by trial and error. You were ordained to fulfill an agenda that is eternal. God had you in mind when he was sculpting the foundation of the earth. You cannot afford to come here and miss out on Kairos moments because you are functioning below God's standard. You can't afford that. And in the name of Jesus, the grace for you to be elevated to the realm of reality is released to you now. Now, when we established this foundations, we now said there are ordinances that must be kept for you to ascend into the realms of reality. And we said the first is the voice of God. If you find anybody living in the realm of faith, living in the realm of the spirit, living in the realm of love, he is hearing God. You cannot migrate from the factual realm to the realm of reality without hearing God. It's not possible. The vehicle that transports you from the factual realm to the realm of reality is the voice of God. If you miss the voice of God, you will discover you will descend. Because when God speaks, God is not speaking primarily to inform. When God speaks, God is not speaking primarily to educate. Now, when you hear God, you will be both informed and educated. But when God speaks, the utterances of God have superior purpose than just information. In fact, I told you, when you read your Bible, the first time words were used, they were not used for information. The first time words were used, they were not used for education. The first time words were used, they were used for creation. The Bible said, Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1 to 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God began to show us how it happened. Because verse 2 said, and the earth was void, darkness was upon the face of the water. And God said, you would think the first time God said, he would be asking a question or educating someone or informing someone. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. So, superior to information in the errand of communication is creation. So when God is talking to you, he is creating your realm. He is creating your possibility. He is re-engineering your atmosphere. That's why for those of us who want to live from reality, we hear God. In fact, we build our lives consciously to be able to transmit to God's realm, or to access the transmission from God's realm. If you find a man who understands how this realm works, you will see that part of the major activity of his life is designed to access the speakings of God. Because when God talks, he creates. God can create wealth out of nothing. God can create health out of sickness. God can create greatness out of failure. God can create possibilities where there is no possibility. But the way he does it is through his word. That's why when God comes to your space and things are not working, he begins to talk. When God shows up and things are going astray, he begins to talk. It is your accessing God speaking that changes your life. The psalmist said, once has the Lord spoken, twice I heard. He understood the power
of the utterances of God. No wonder the guy said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul." This is what the guy was talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. That means God is the one who protects and provides for me. In fact, verse 4 and 5 blew my mind. He said, "Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil." You call a place the valley of the shadow of death and you are not afraid? He said, "Because I know God is with me." Because God told him, "I am your shepherd." And then he now made the one that blew my mind. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I said, "Wait a minute. So I don't have to prosper only where people love me? Even where they hate me, I still prosper. Even where they curse me, I still prosper. Even where they gang up against me, I still prosper." That's why you are wasting your time ganging up against me. Because what we are running with, it makes prosperity possible even in the midst of our enemies. So if I'm among my loved ones, that one is walkover. In the midst of my enemies, I prosper. Because God is talking. God is talking. God is talking. And the more I hear, the more my enemies become inconsequential. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." What are you talking about? So I can have abundance where they hate me. I can have abundance where they gang up against me. All the prophets knew this. Isaiah said, "Surely they shall gather. It's not by me." He said, "Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment." He didn't say God will say anything. He said, "Thou shalt condemn." He said, "No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper." No weapon. Carry my name to her. Send my name to a shrine. Against me, you just wasted your time. Because the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. If you think you have seen something, wait for tomorrow. My tomorrow is brighter than today. I am not praying about it. That's my heritage. Hear God. There was a time I was sick. I took drugs, it didn't work. I prayed, it didn't work. One of those days, I was on a long fast. I laid on the bed. A being walked into the room and sat on the bed. He came with so much glory, I was afraid to turn. And then I heard, "Because I live, you shall see tomorrow." I didn't even know it was in the Bible. I discovered later that in John 14, he said, "Because I live, you will live also." I didn't know. But God spoke. The moment he spoke, a dark creature left my body. From that day to today, I am strong like a rock. Like a rock. Ask those who are around me. Not even paracetamol. Meanwhile, my schedule is as hectic as you can imagine. Sometimes in 1 month, I am in 15 nations. Back to back, preaching with fire. But you'll never hear me say back pain. Oh, head. "Because I live, you shall see tomorrow." The thing re-engineered my cells, my molecular structure, my skeletal system, my everything was re-engineered to become tough. We don't break down, sir. And then that same word has delivered me from circumstances of that broad shame. I was preaching in Pakistan. They told the people, "A healer is around." I said, "Did I tell you I'm a healer?" The pastor literally set me up. He said, "This guy was imparted by Rehabonke. He's a descendant of Rehabonke." When I was coming for the meeting, they hired more than 70 buses. People came from different territories. And then I was there. I preached and preached. Now, they speak Urdu. I was speaking English. The guy was interpreting. So there was a lot of breaking transmission. Even tempo was not rising. Fear hit my heart. And I kept talking. When I finished preaching and I saw that nobody was healed, I wanted to escape. So I told them, "Close your eyes, let's pray." While they are praying, I can hand over to the host and go. As they were praying, a woman shouted, that she could see. The man of God stopped me and said, somebody says she can see. I said, are you sure? Verify quickly. Let somebody whisper. Don't bring them forward. Just check in the congregation. I didn't want a situation where they will come forward and the woman starts saying, I'm saying I want to see. Let's know exactly what you are talking about. So when they confirmed she could see, they shouted, she can see, she can see. The moment they start shouting, I stood up. I said, yes. I told you I'm not a lecturer. We are witnesses. My God is a God of power. But guess what? While we were praying, I heard God remind me. I told you, because I live, you will see tomorrow. That was how blind eyes open. That was how deaf ears open. That was how miracles broke out. What have you heard? I was going through difficulty in my life. And the Lord came to me and said, I have made you an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. When I heard that word, I rushed and searched the Bible, searched concordance. I saw it was in Isaiah 60 verse 15. I said, what? I'm a joy of many generations? That means nothing can stop me. This age is too small for me. You will appreciate my ministry after 100 years. Because we have not started. We have not started. I'm a joy of many generations. That's why some of us are no longer praying. Father, don't let them stop me. I cannot be stopped. I'm the joy of many generations. I'm no longer praying. Don't let them cut me off. I cannot be cut off. You're still on the job, and he looks at you. He says, you are finished. Me? The Bible says, who is it that seeth a thing? And it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not. I don't finish. Did you read your Bible? He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. You can't stop me. I've heard things. I've heard the oracles of that spirit that is ancient. Nothing can intimidate me because I've heard. And in the name of Jesus Christ, your ears are opening tonight to hear. See, when you go to the marketplace, don't just go with certificate and experience. Go with grace. Go with mysteries. Because there are people coming from other kingdoms. I'm going to bring one of my friends to speak to you here. He works with the UN. Let him tell you his story. He said there was a time they came for a meeting of senior functionaries. And a man showed up. The moment he entered the meeting, God opened the senses of smell. And he began to perceive the smell of a fish. And he said, can somebody come to a meeting like this smelling of a fish? When he now inquired, no other person perceived it. Hey, what's going on here? That was when it dawned on him that he had switched. He had switched. Then everybody dreaded this man. Usually, if you dare him, you are either dismissed disgracefully in a short period of time, or you go down with paralysis. And the man took offense at him. Maybe because he felt like Haman and Mordecai. He didn't show him honor or whatever. And when it feels like that, it will shake you. So that you will experience some things. And when the man shook him, he shook back. That's when you will know that my hand is an extension of the hand of God. If they lay hands on the sick, they will recover. This hand is the hand of God. He said, when they hear you, they hear me. When I talk, you hear God. What, who are you? When the man shook him and removed his hand, he nodded. That means there's a man in the room. I'm not the only person. Light and darkness don't jump. And he said, the light shineth in the darkness. We already have the verdict of victory. I don't care how thick darkness is. The faintest light can disgrace darkness. And in the name of Jesus, you are stepping into the season of your victory. Can begin to produce results unimaginable. You study Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Trained and experienced fishermen. The Bible said they toiled all night. They knew the advantage of fishing at night. This is their job. This is their profession. And they caught nothing. But the master said, launch into the deep. Peter said, we have toiled all night and found nothing. He said, but at thy word. And when they obeyed, they had a great catch. They couldn't pull it out. When you hear God, your life becomes a wonder. He will show you opportunities. And where there are no opportunities, he will create them. Luke 17:27. Go to the sea. Cast thy hook. The first fish you catch, bring it out. Open his mouth, you will find a gold coin. When did fishes become banks? But he has spoken. He has spoken. He has spoken. He has spoken. Matthew 17:27. Check the scripture. He has spoken. And his words don't fall to the ground. Your reality is framed when you hear his voice. It doesn't matter. Men may be cast down. Let him speak. It doesn't matter. You may not know any blessing. Let him speak. And you'll see how your word will turn for good. Somebody is hearing his voice tonight. I said somebody is hearing his voice tonight. See, I'm not teaching you this in a religious sense. I'm showing you Christianity that has existential implications. I'm a scientist. I can tell you how many great scientists, great, who broke into realms of invention because they saw and heard things. So it was not just the knowledge of physics. Go and study after Michael Faraday. Study after Pythagoras. You will know that some of these Western worlds that are leading in civilization, they are leading because they heard whispers of spirits. Find out how the pie was discovered. You will know that spirits control this realm, but they are hid behind the scene. You can hear a spirit, and it will lead you, give you an inspiration to start a business. He is positioning you ahead of your generation. I wish I had time to give you examples. But in the name of Jesus, your manifestation will teach you better than what I say. When God leads you, even in the wilderness, you will have abundance. Isaiah 48:21, the Bible says, they tested not why he led them. They tested not why he led them through the desert. He said he caused the rock to bring water for them. He cleaved the rock and the water gushed out. Even in the wilderness. Because there are locations that are superior to locations. And when God begins to speak, things can change. Number two, I told you to live in the realm of realities. You must understand the legalities that define who you are. There are legalities. There are spiritual legalities that forms the bedrock of our existence. We are not just walking as excited people, we are walking with spiritual legalities. There are legalities that define our stand in the kingdom. When you see us talk the way we talk, there are truths we are standing on. We are not just excited people. Although we shout, because shouting in this kingdom is a weapon. But we are not just excited fanatics. No. There are truths that define the foundation of our faith. They are legalities. I call them the great exchange. The great exchange. When the Son of God hung on the cross, he wasn't carrying out a religious ritual. He was substituting you. So that everything that was a disadvantage is altered. So number one, we are righteous because he was made sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible said, he made him that knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what does this mean? Three things amongst others. Number one, it means we cannot be condemned because we have been declared righteous. That's why the Bible said, who can bring any charge against God's elect? If you like, carry my name to the shrine and say, Apostle Mike, or say Mike Oroko, whatever you want to call. He came from Otukpa. This is his grandfather. I did this. He did that. Because of this, he is supposed to suffer. You are wasting your time. If you call my name there, whatever you see, carry it. Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. And he has declared me justified. Number two, we are righteous because we are now able to stand in his presence without inferiority or fear of condemnation. On the strength of the righteousness of God, we carry God's presence everywhere we go. We lost the presence in Eden, but in righteousness we are readmitted. That's why the Bible says we come boldly to the throne of grace. Righteousness is conferred on you. It's not just a title. It means something. It means now I carry the presence of God wherever I go. So why you go for business meeting with experience? I go with experience and presence. And guess what? Those who carry God's presence. The Bible said, when Israel came out of Egypt, the land of captivity, it said Judah was a sanctuary. It said the sea saw them and fled. It said Jordan went backward. It said the mountains keep like rams. And it said, oh ye sea, why fledest thou? Oh ye mountain, why skippest thou? And the earth responded. It said, let the earth tremble at the presence of God. See, why faith remove mountain? Presence make mountain to remove themselves. Go read your Bible. When they left Egypt, they carried God's presence. The Bible said, there was a commandment on them. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. When the king of Moab wanted to try it, he called a man called Balaam to curse Israel. And the Bible says, whoever Balaam curses is cursed. Whoever Balaam blesses is blessed. The one who blesses and is blessed, curses and is cursed, couldn't curse Israel. He tried and tried and tried. They were not praying, but they knew the Shekinah was with them. The presence was there. The Bible said, Balaam himself confessed that there's no enchantment against Jacob. There's no divination against Israel. The shout of the king is in their midst. The presence already made enchantment impossible. You carry God's presence into a bank and you say they are threatening you. You carry God's presence into the market and you say your life is in danger. They want to destroy you. No, they can't destroy you. Don't say some things. You are educating and emboldening the devil. Didn't you see the life of Job? Satan didn't waste his weapon because he knew there was a hedge around Job. Until Job said, I'm living in fear. You are the one educating demons to fight you. Even when you are talking, you say, I don't know what's happening in this country. Nothing is working. It's not me.
What do you mean nothing is working? The tongue you used to talk, is it not working? The brain you used to analyze the conversation, is the brain not working? When nothing is working, it's an opportunity for you. Light cannot shine except there's darkness. So when there's darkness, it's an opportunity to shine. That's the difference between leaders and followers. While leaders see limitation, followers see opportunities. If nothing is working as you claim, that's why you are here. You are the righteousness of God. Anywhere I get to see, I carry the consciousness that I'm coming with God's presence. That's why I stop bothering about my race. You know, before now, when you enter some places, you feel you are a black man. So you feel limited. But I carry God. That's why I stop bothering about my age. See, I've been to places to talk. The people sitting are like my grandfathers. They are watching you. What does he have to say? And before now, you'll be panicking. You are careful with your words. Now we don't bother anymore. I came with the Ancient of Days. Give me 5 minutes. I will tap into an ancient wisdom that is older than time. I now know what I carry. I'll be in Germany tomorrow talking with fathers of faith. I'm going with an understanding. They are in for a blessing. Because I come with God. That's righteousness. You carry the presence. It distinguishes you. The Bible said, when you come to a place, don't be afraid what to say. Open your mouth, I will fill it up. There's no sense of inferiority anymore. Because I come with God. And then number three, righteousness is the power to reign in life. The word is basileus. It means to king through life. In Romans 5:17, it said, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, it said, they shall what? Reign. They shall king through life. When we talk, our words have power. When we talk, our words can change things. See, that's why we are careful what we say. We are careful because we know words are instruments of dominion. And God gave us words because he wants us to exercise dominion. That's what righteousness has conferred upon me. See, when I come to a place, I know I'm the head, not the tail. I know. I'm not coming for a meeting and I'm saying, may if God is merciful, maybe they will choose me. They have no choice but to choose me. Somebody spoke the other time. He said, if they need to choose two people, I'm praying for the next one. Because I'm already chosen. Because I'm a chosen generation. You are righteous. You are righteous. It's a legal standing. See, that's why as a Christian, you must be audacious. He died as a lamb. He rose as a lion. We are the lion generation. Are you following something here? This is how you live from the plane of reality. You understand the legalities of the realm. Number two, the Bible said, and there are many. There are over 12 of them. You can read about the cross. You will find all the exchange. Number two, he took shame so that you will receive glory. Your destiny is not wired for shame. Don't let the devil come to tell you, you will soon enter shame. No, it's not your portion. Nothing can bring shame on you unless you choose to bring shame on yourself. Because you have been exonerated from shame. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 verse 2, for the glory that was set before him. The Bible said he endured the shame of the cross. You think Jesus hung on the cross naked so that you will still be naked? That's why when he resurrected, the Bible said, in fact, before he went to the cross, in John 17:22, he said, Father, the glory that you gave me, I have given to them. So that they will be one as we are one. What he's saying is that we have been elevated to the God class of existence. See, this is Christianity. You need to allow this dominate you. Because your consciousness is what powers your life. Some of you carry the consciousness of shame. You carry the consciousness of fear. That's why that's all you see. We can choose to willingly suffer for God. We can choose to willingly suffer for the kingdom. But we have been exalted. We live in the class of glory. In fact, 2 Peter 1:3-4, we've quoted it here time and time again. The Bible said, according
as his divine power. So this thing was sanctioned by authority. It's not something you beg for. The sovereignty of God is what sanctioned your glorification. He said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us. He didn't say he will give us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that called you to what? To glory. I am called to glory. I am called to virtue. And in case you don't understand the kind of glory he's talking about, in verse 4, he says, whereby, according to his great and precious promises, he made you and I to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when we talk glory, we are talking God kind existence. The same way my son carries my features, enjoys what I enjoy without having to beg for it, I've been brought into the God class. I share in the glory. Praise God. I share in it. Anywhere God is, that's where I am. It's a privileged existence. Look at my boys. See where they are sitting. Why are they not at the back? Because I'm the one standing in front. Does it give you an idea? I won't be comfortable here if they are behind. It doesn't mean they are better than others. But I am the one in front. They have to be with me. The same way others are with their parents. Do you get what I'm telling you here? Anywhere God is, that's where you are. So, they look like me. They enjoy my privileges. That's glorified existence. Glorified. See, you have been brought into glorified existence. The problem is that you are not aware, so you are not putting demand. Place demand. It says, him that he foreknew, he predestinated. Him that he predestinated, he called. Him that he called, he justified. That's where our theology ends. Romans 8:30. So we keep talking justified. It says, him that he justified, he also, he glorified. You have been glorified. Live like God. Oh my God. Live. See, when you read the Bible, you are not reading a religious book. You are reading a book of kingdom secrets to discover yourself. So read to become. Don't read to recite. Didn't you read your Bible? The moment Jesus resurrected, the next book is called Acts of the Apostles. They knew it was time to demonstrate what Jesus did. Acts, demonstrations. Paul said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. I choose to know nothing among you, save Christ and him crucified. My teaching and my preaching. 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1 to 4. They were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. They were the demonstrations of the Spirit. They were the demonstration of power. They were the demonstration. See, when I look at you and say you are blessed, I have given you power to prosper. I know it's glorified existence. If I touch you and you are sick, you are healed. It's glorified existence. And it's not because I'm an apostle, it's our calling. If there's a secret, give me some minutes, give me some hours. I will enter my room and check and find it. It's glorified existence. I have access. These are legalities. I wish we are, those people who are from kingdom nations, they understand this. Like England, like Bahamas, you don't see the prince coming to struggle with you. No. He's born royal. You are the one complaining and shouting. The king is, the prince is born royal. He's born with inheritance. Even if both of you attend the same school, while you are learning to have certificate to have a job, he is learning to know how to command and to lead. The mentality is different. But you see, in the kingdom of God, you have been called into glory. As he is, so are you in this world. If you don't acknowledge it, it will not be wired into your existence. Philemon 1:6 said that the communication of your faith shall become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. The way we enter reality is by acknowledging all those good things. I acknowledge that I'm glorified. I acknowledge it. And because I acknowledge it, it begins to happen in my life. If I start a business, it works. I'm glorified. Nothing about me fails. I acknowledge it. Glory to God. And then number three, he took death so that you will have life. And I said, life is awakening into dimensions. When we say somebody is alive, it means he has been awakened into an experience or an existence sphere. Life is not breath. That's why when breath is over, you will still be alive. You will just be awakened to another dimension. When Jesus died, he took death so that you will have life. That's why John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He took death so that you will have life. So what it means is that now you have been awoken to the God realm. So anything that is available in the realm of God, you have access to it. You have access to wisdom. You have access to power. You have access to anointing. You have access to everything in the realm of God. Don't only spend money. Spend from heaven. Spend from heaven. Spend. There is wisdom for you to spend from. You are not taking it. Life gave you access to it. Spend from there. There's vitality for you to spend from. Spend from there. Spend from heaven. There's favor for you to spend from. Spend from there. Eternal life means you have been awoken to God's realm. So everything God is and everything God has is now yours for the taking. That's why I said all things are yours. Sometimes it will take worship for you to draw. Sometimes it will take prayer for you to draw. Sometimes it will take study for you to draw. So your job now is to draw. That's why I tell you, when we go to pray, the goal is not to shout. The goal is not to sweat. It's to draw. We commune to draw. To draw. When we worship, the goal is not to feel good. You know, some of you enter the mood of worship when they play a song that you like. When they sing a song that you like. No, it's not about like or not liking. It's about assessing height. It's about drawing from another dispensation. Drawing from another aeon. Drawing from another dimension. It's about drawing. Some of you only pray when you are the one leading. So when you carry the mic, you start praying capital letter tongues. But when somebody else is praying, you pocket your hand. You are walking around. You are not drawing. You are not drawing. See, there was a time we were praying in Makodi. And I was with one of our seniors there when we were praying. Suddenly my eyes opened. And I saw different perfumes. Perfumes upon perfumes. And they were sharing it. And this man was an intercessor. I saw the perfume they gave him. On the perfume there was a very giant sword. As a symbol. I said, oh, no wonder. This old guy is the fighter. When I saw my own perfume, as they were giving me the perfume, I started seeing flags of nations. Flags. Flags. I said, what does this mean? The man now told me, get ready. You are about to travel. That means the perfume, the favor of my own life, opens doors of nations. That's why we don't need to ask anybody to invite us. The year begins with more than enough invitation for the year. Because what they gave me, the fragrance, is for access to nations. Access to nations. So anybody who hears my message wants to invite me. I drew it from that realm. See, there are things there. In Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible said that tower is like the neck of David, and it said upon it are mantles of many warriors. See, when people leave earth, they leave graces in the spirit. They leave mantles in the spirit. They leave dimensions. They are available for many generations. You have no reason to beg. You are working in government. The things that people like Nehemiah wore, Esther wore, Daniel wore, they are still in the realm. They are there. The favor that people like Esther had, they are there. But the thing is, you have access, but you are not drawing. You think when we come to church, it's about religion? Some even think we are wasting our time. Let's go to the factory. Let's go and walk. Hey, Africa, we are always praying. The countries that have factories, go and study their history. Both in light and in darkness. The whole Western world was built on Judeo-Christian foundation. It's not this messed up society you have today that is immoral. Go check their foundation. All the revivals you study about, where did they happen? They happened in those nations. From Germany to England to America. That was when the foundation of that civilization was built. You think it's technocrats that built nations? Go back and read about Babylon. Then you understand that nations are not built on the spirit whisper to men. You think all these other nations that are not Christian nations, go and find out how many gods they worship. You go to India and come back, let's talk. Everything has a god. You think it's just physics, chemistry that they are reading and breaking into economic revolution? You are joking. Every nation is built on the foundation of spirit. For we who are in light, we are built on God. That's why we don't just prosper, but we prosper with value systems. That's why the Western world is called the free world. Because it was built on Judeo-Christian foundation. You carry dollar to spend, the right in God we trust. Is that an economic phrase? Is that economic language? Is in God we trust economics? Those of you who studied economics here. Say, they are praying, they are praying. We are digging our wells. We are digging our wells. There is a wisdom we must access. There is a power we must access. We must rediscover our identity in God. Our leaders don't even know who they are. That's why they go for geopolitical meetings. They are going to beg. Every time we are taking loan and there's nothing to show for it. The countries that are giving you loan, why are they not asking you for loan? Wrong identity. We have not found the legal foundation that defines who we are. But if you know that you are glorified, see, there are conversations you don't get involved in. There are positions you don't assume. If you know you have access, there are positions you don't assume. As a child of God, you need to know. If you know you have access, you will get on your job and know you are the answer. You are not a liability. When there is a problem, you will say, give me time. Like Daniel, king, give us time. There's a God that answered prayers. And the guy went and came back with results. Because you know that you have access. That's why Jesus gave us life. It's not just for us to escape judgment. It's for us to leave heaven on earth. Drawing God's dimension into our immediate context. And so there are legalities. There are legalities. And I took time to deal with some of them last week. Now, for tonight, in the next 10 minutes, the third thing that makes you function. I couldn't even enter my message. That's why we don't do recap. Because recaps are a body. Praise God. But are you learning something? Hear God. Hear God. See, God will recreate your world. I'm telling you. If I tell you my story, you will laugh. God will recreate your world. See, where it looks like there's no way, suddenly a highway will appear. And the Bible said, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child. He says, so also knowest not thou the ways of the Spirit. I was telling them just about a decade ago, I was a teacher teaching 14 to 16 hours in a month, only reaching about 1,000 students. Thank God for that faith. Most of those guys are engineers and lawyers now. But fast forward 10 years later, only our platforms cumulatively, I'm not talking the many blocks, this message I'm preaching, the moment I finish, more than 30 different platforms will have either the full message or snippets. And they have views in their millions. I'm not talking about that. Only our platform, Facebook, YouTube, both personal and ministry, cumulatively in a month, reaches over 60 million people. How do you rationalize it? 60 million divided by 1,000. What's the ratio? You can't begin to define it. Because when God begins to speak to you, He recreates your world. If you ask me 15 years ago, if we will do what we are doing now, we were just prophesying. We couldn't see it. If I talk about the finances, you'll be shocked. I was explaining to them what we were praying some days ago. I told them, what I got in 1 hour going out somewhere was equivalent to what I was getting before, cumulatively in a year, is I would have been able to make it in 200 years. What I was making before every year, if you add all together without spending, will take me 200 years of working to get it in 1 hour. What I get, you can't explain what we are talking here. I'm telling you, God is still creating, you know? He can recreate your world. He will add favor. He will add wisdom. He will add inspiration. He will cut the line to fall in pleasant places. And suddenly, you that look like a desolate land, you become the joy of many generations. That's why you must hear Him. When He talks, He creates. And then you must understand the legalities of the realm, so that by them, you'll be able to litigate. You legislate in the spirit. Because I know I'm glorified. There is a quality of life I will never accept. Because I know I have life, I will never accept to live without inspiration. See, I have those who know me. This phone is for writing. I don't make one call with it. Every day, there is unending inspiration. I keep writing and writing and writing because I have access. I have access. Talking in different fora without diminishing. Access, because I'm alive in God. Tomorrow I'll be in Germany. I'll come back on Wednesday and go straight to lecture the people I'm training. I have access. And I'm strong, and vitality is on the top. Never breaking down. Because if I break down now, I go and carry my weapons. I have the life of God. That same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. I begin to mortify sickness. Because it's litig. Is that not how you fight in court, barrister? Your power is the constitution. The legal ground is our constitution. If I discover loss enters my soul now, I begin to fight it. I've been declared righteous. I can't fall into sin. I refuse to fall into sin. As I declare, the appetite is mortified. If anything happens that should put me in shame, I begin to declare, I've been brought into glory. Shame is not my portion. I'm fighting with legal grounds. That's how we live in reality. And then, number three, how do you live in reality? Is securing your identity in God. Every one of us who we live in reality must understand our identity. Otherwise, even if you get there, you won't manifest. Hope you know, they are both slaves and princes in palaces. But their experiences are different. You can be in the realm. If you don't know your identity, you won't experience the resources of the realm. You will go to a palace, you will find a slave. He or she has been there for 20 years. Nails are grinded. Knee is like, because that slave is used to waking early, to cook, to wash, to clean, to even bathe. The so-called princes and princesses. So all that slave knows in the palace is plight and peri. You are the one who thinks palace is a place of enjoyment. It depends on your identity in the palace. Some of the hardest lives are lived in the palace. Go and meet those slaves, they will tell you. I went to Dubai. I've been there a couple of times. And
I was wowed at the nation. So what beauty is this? Somebody now drove me to a location and said, see that site? They import people from different countries. Their work is to slave and to suffer. Their work is to work to slave and to suffer. Because the prince and the princess does not know how to cook. Somebody cooks for him. He doesn't wash. Somebody washes for him. Some, even baiting, they are baited. So that same palace has different experiences. There is the royal experience and there is hell in the palace. Your identity is what determines what your experience will be. So don't just start shouting and say you are in the realm of God. As who? You must know who you are in the realm of God. And in this realm, there are four basic identities we have, amongst others. Number one, we are sons. We are sons. You must understand that you are a son. You must understand it. It must sink into you. John chapter 1, if you read verse 10 to verse 12, the Bible said he came into the world. Although the world was made by him, the world knew him not. It said he came unto his own receiveth him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right. So we are not sons by privilege. We are sons by divine right. If we were sons by privilege, Satan would have insulted us and challenged us. See, those days when we were children growing up and didn't have sense, so much sense. They will bring your uncle's daughter from the village, bring, or your neighbor will bring his brother's daughter or his brother's son from the village. And then when we are playing, say, get out. Is that your father's house? You two people are talking, you are talking. And you see the person go quiet. He's in the house. He's calling his uncle daddy. But everybody knows that he's not daddy. Everybody knows that he is from another daddy. He's just here trying to survive. It's messy and sympathy. From accommodation to school. And then those uncles will also make sure you can tell the difference between their own sons and the ones that are not their own. Because on Christmas Day, their clothes are different. And then we, in our foolishness, we keep insulting them. Now, hear this. If the devil knew, or if God did not make us children by right, if God just pitied us and said, come, come, let me start calling you my children. When you go to cast out devils, they would have said, you are what? You are, what did you say you are? So the Bible said, we were made sons by what? Right. To them that believe, he gave the right to become the sons of God. I am a son of God by right. That's why you can insist on things. That's why you have inheritance. That's why you can wield the power of the kingdom. So when I step out, I am going out not as a Nigerian. Based on patriotism, I accept being a Nigerian. I will make my impact in this country. But beyond being a Nigerian, I have another nationality. I'm the child of the King of Kings. I'm the child of the Lord of Lords. You know the problem with most of you? You are too proud about your natural nativity. You went home, did everything possible to take a title. Now they are calling you Odogwu, but demons are killing you. You are a red captive, but demons... Be proud of your heritage. Be patriotic. But remember, you are much more than an ethnic. We are creatures of another dispensation. You are a child of God. See, the family you came from, the country you came from, is the platform God gave you to express kingdom. That's why you will bless your country. That's why you will bless your family. Because that's your platform. But over and above that, you are a citizen of heaven.
The Bible said in Romans 8, verse 17, it said, now are we the children of God. And it said, if we are children, then we are heirs. And if we are heirs, then we are joint heirs with Christ. That's why everything that belongs to Jesus now belongs to me. The same anointing of Jesus is the anointing I have. The Bible said in Acts 10, 38, God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and power. In Acts 1, 8, I am anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. That's why the righteousness of Jesus is my righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him that was without sin to become sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why the life of Jesus is my life. The Bible said, this is the record. 1 John 5:11. God has given us eternal life. He said that life was in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. So every experience of Jesus, I insist, must be my own experience. There's nothing Jesus experienced that I will not experience. If Jesus experienced health, I must have health. If Jesus experienced favor, I must have favor. If Jesus experienced glory, I must have glory. In fact, Jesus said, the glory you gave me, I have given them. Because now are we the sons of God. I'm an heir of another kingdom. I'm an heir. I know my identity. So when I enter the kingdom, I'm not entering as a slave. I'm entering as an heir. You go to the Middle East and find out some of those princes. You will understand what I'm teaching you. When you are an heir, you are in another class. Because the inheritance is yours. The authority is yours. When I go out, I'm not begging demons. I command them, they obey. Because I'm an heir. When I enter anywhere, I have the power to establish God's kingdom. Because I'm an heir. Because the government is on the shoulder of sons. You know the problem with you? You don't know you are a son. You still think you are a servant. You still think you are a slave. The day you know you are a son. See, some of us, the way we even pray to God, show we don't know we are sons. Somebody will go and naked herself around 12 midnight. My father, this is how I came. Please help me. Have mercy. Oh, don't let these people kill me. Is that a son praying? Imagine your own children come to you at night naked and say, mommy, daddy, this matter is overwhelming. Please, don't let me be put to shame. You will be afraid. Are you going mad? Am I so wicked that you have to be naked? Sometimes we are insulting God. We are calling God wicked by the way we pray to him. I know the place of reverence and honor because God is also our king. I know it. But I'm telling you, we've not discovered ourselves. See, that's why you think some things are too good for you. So when you come to God, you are asking for crumbs and leftovers. No, the bed is for sons. The Bible said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life in abundance. Only abundance is my portion. He said in Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me, I will give you the hidden for thy inheritance, the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Lord, please, this is the last request I will make from you. Please, because of your mercy, just do this one only for me. What is only? Me that will be here for another 60, 70 years. I'm asking for only. Lord, I'm coming back. Thank you for this one you have done. You will still hear the voice of your Son. Grant me the grace to use it well, but I will be back. Which one is only? Imagine that you woke up in the morning and then somebody is whispering, daddy, and he kneels down. Please give us breakfast if you are kind. Because of your mercy. Daddy, please, because of your unfailing love and mercy, give us breakfast this morning. And you think you are being spiritual. Even this, my little boys have more education than some people who have been Christians for 30 years. This guy will wake up around 1 a.m. This one here. And when he wake up, he said, deuce. That's juice. He wants juice now. And because I suspect he will wake up, I keep varieties. I will bring water. He said, no, I will bring juice. Sometimes he will specify Capricorn. That's Capricorn. If I don't produce Capricorn, even me, I know that night, I will enter wahala. Sometimes he wake up and say chocolate. He doesn't care where they produce it, where they sell it, how much it is sold for. That's not his department. It's my department to look for where it is sold. It's my department to produce it in the house. His own department is to what? Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. For whoever asketh, receiveth. Whoever seeketh, findeth. And to whomever that knocketh, the door shall be opened. He said, as wicked as your earthly parents are. He's not accusing your earthly parents. He's telling you whatever love your father and mother have shown you is nothing compared to my love. Is he as wicked as your earthly parents are? Will you ask them for bread and they give you stone? Will you ask them for fish and they give you serpent? He said, your father is willing to give you the kingdom. Stop all this religious drama. Lord, if you are merciful, if you are kind, what does the coming of Jesus mean to you? That's the mercy of God on display. That's the love of God on display. So don't question God's mercy. Just come and take. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you because you hear me. Lord, I decree now by your authority, this thing is done. This one is done. That one. He said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Thou shalt decree a thing. You are a son. You can't live from reality unless you know. All things are mine. I've inherited all things. All things are mine. I'm a son. I'm a son. Reality is not for slaves. It's for sons. I'm a son. When God started teaching me this, my prayer points reduced. That's why some of us pray more in tongues. Prayer points reduced. Father, please have mercy on me. Open the gates of nations. No. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because the nations are mine. I command the doors to open. I'm bringing the gospel of the kingdom. No power can stop me. That's how we pray. Oh, there's tumor. Oh, Lord, I don't know where they shot this arrow from. But I believe that because of you, I will not die. I pray, Lord, please stretch your hand now in your mercy. Please let this tumor go. No. Maro feyatele kasurubahata. Hey, tumor, in the name of Jesus, disappear now. He said, talk to the mountain. Be thou removed. That's sonship. Lord, see, all my mates are married. I don't know. They are laughing at me now. Please, in your mercy, please, can this door of marriage open for me? No. The Bible already said, he said, search ye out of the book and read. He said, none of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. His spirit has gathered it. And he said, none shall desire her maid. It's a law. I'm not supposed to desire or pray for my maid. He said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Lord, I'm a good thing. I declare I am found. I'm begging God, please. Where am I? It's my husband. Please bring him. What was that? None shall desire her maid. Lord, I'm a good thing. I am found. Let the eyes of that person open quickly. What are you talking about here? Time to marry is the season. Father, in the name of Jesus, my step are ordered to my wife. I decree that I find her. I find. What are we talking here? Come on, somebody. Rise up and reign. We are begging every day. Somebody said he is God and he is begging God for the ministry to work. Oh Lord Almighty, please don't let this ministry remain in one spot. Oh Lord Almighty, please Lord, let the ministry. What are you doing? How many times was Moses begging for the ministry to work? How many times was Elijah begging? How many times was Paul begging? Oh Lord, let this ministry. No, no. I am mightily helped of God. I go from strength to strength. I go from glory to glory. I go from power to power. No power can stop us. No force can stop us. We are the light of the world. We are a city set upon the hill. That's how you pray. And then you will see reality open to you. You are doing business. Oh Lord, as I'm going to the market, let there be favor on this product. Oh Lord God, please. Oh Lord, please. No. Whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. This is another channel that will bless generations. This is another channel that will bless favor. It is released in favor. It's released in power. I decree it takes over. That's why when we come to church, we just worship. We just worship. We are too blessed. He said, our heritage is to decree a thing, it shall be established unto us. That's why we just lift our hands. We are just worshiping. See, a point comes, you don't even know what to ask. Because everything has been reduced to your command. We just love him. See the way he has set us up for beauty, for glory, for excellence, for dominion. But many are not aware. That's why they are not living in reality. And he said, the heir, so long as it's a child, is not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So Lord can live as servant. That's who you are. What I'm teaching you now is not in negation of natural laws. You can leverage time, leverage people, leverage opportunities, sharpen your gift, market it, invest strategically. These things don't negate it. These things I'm teaching you are the advantages that sets you apart. So where people invest, we all invest. We all do the natural laws, but we come with an advantage because we are sons. We are sons. Are you learning something here? Don't go out like a beggar. Sonship is an office. It's an office. It means you are the heir of the kingdom. And that's not all. Give me 5 minutes. Let me round up. You are not just a son. I will slow down so that I round. Tempo down so that I round up. You are also a king. He said in Revelation 1 verse 6, he washed us in his blood and he made us kings and priests unto God. And the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 8 4, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Anything you say carries power. You are the one who is not aware. That's why you keep talking failure. And you keep talking fear. Kings don't talk like that. You must understand it. Your words have been designated to carry power. When you talk, heavens back you up. That's why you must be careful what you say. Because your words are laws. Pastor Chris told the story. He said, either the husband of a woman or somebody asked her, if your husband die, what will you do? She said, die, I will die with him. What a stupid answer. Why will you think that my husband will die? Where is the question coming from? You go to her. And then if that even has to be the scenario, if he dies, I wake him up. There are better answers to give. What do you mean I die with him? Guess what happened? He said, not so long, they brought her a message that the husband was dead. And she said she won't believe until she sees the body. And she entered the car. They were taking her to see the body and had an accident. And she died out of five people. Because she gave death permission to take her when this event happened. People just talk. They don't know who they are. God sees you as a king. He made you one. That's why he's called King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when you talk, your words have authority. You are a king. See, I know things may not be working. I'm not saying deny fact. I'm saying use reality to dominate fact. You may be sick in your body. But instead of saying, I'm dying, by his stripes I am healed. You talk where you are going. I know things may not be working. The Bible said the fig tree might not blossom. He said the labor of the olive might fail. Everything may be failing. But instead of talking it, you talk the God of your salvation. Didn't you read Genesis chapter 1? The reason me and you know there was darkness and chaos was because Moses was the one writing. God never talked about the darkness. Where he saw darkness, he said, light be. You never find God saying, oh, darkness, this darkness has dominated everywhere. This darkness has taken over. That's not his business. Light be. You talk what you want to see. That's how you exhibit kingship. I know the market forces may be against you. The lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That's how you talk. Because of who you are. See, some of us, even God has decided to reduce certain opportunities because we will kill it with our mouth. That's why God is more interested in your maturity. Because the opportunities you are crying for, if they show up now, you will destroy it. Somebody is blessed. He say, I happy die. Even blessings. What do you mean, I happy die? You know, the devil puts garbage on the tongues of those who should be sons in light. My king. Why do you think we stand here and say you are blessed? The doors are opening for you. You are healed. We know it's kingship. That's how we wield our scepter. And when you go into your everyday life, that's how you wield your scepter. Because you are a king. He said you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9, a royal priesthood. All of us are kings. It's not just the preacher. We are a royal priesthood. And then you are a priest. What that means is that you have the power to bring heaven to earth. Because a priest is one who stands on behalf of men before God and one who represents God to men. So you have authority to superimpose the dimensions of heaven to earth. That's why you can come to a place, natural laws may go haywire. Don't be confused. Stand there and insist on the superior dimension. You are a priest. This is who you are. And if you know this is who you are, the realm will lend themselves to you. The Bible said there was a herald in the spirit. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory might come in. And he said, who is the King of glory? And the King of glory knew who he was. He said, the Lord strong, mighty, is the King of glory. Come on, lift your head. When you know who you are, the realm we align, the forces we align. The reason why those things are not lending themselves is because you have not discovered who you are. Those who live in reality, they know who they are. Situations may not be working. They know who they are. He said, let no one in Zion say I'm sick. He said, why men are cast down? You say there's a lifting up. You need to talk from your reality. Your reality is dominion. You are a king. You reign in life. And then finally, you are an ambassador. Wherever you find yourself, you are there as an answer. You are not there as part of those trying to survive. You know why we compromise? Because we don't know who we are.
I was teaching in a school some years back. Those were the days when we earned 22 or 25,000 naira as salary. Imagine a whole month. You are talking all the further mathematics, all the physics, all the chemistry, 14 to 16 hours. They give you 25,000. And you are, it's a big breakthrough. And then the owner of the school shows up and says, Waek is coming. We need you to answer the questions quick so that we give the students answer. What? Meanwhile, everybody in the school used to call me pastor. And you have the audacity to tell me to come and the students I'm teaching to answer and go and give them answers. Now imagine if I did that. All those students follow me now. How would they have believed my Christianity and my calling? They would have seen me as one of these fake, I better leave all these people where they talk. I know him. They will say, no, I know him. You know, when people say, leave that matter, I know him. They are talking something. I would have sabotaged this reality today. Because when you do it, she gives you 4,000 or 5,000. And it was a big deal for many people. I said, no, I'm a Christian. I won't. The woman's eye was like this. You greet her, she won't answer. 2 weeks. I was red. If you come, see, teachers used to panic when she is angry. She said, I will not do it. She thought it was a joke. She sent some teachers to better tell me not to joke with her. Because she doesn't... What? So why am I teaching them? 3-4 months before Wyatt. I eventually left the school. And went to another school. A revival broke out in that school. And then 1 year plus later, my finances began to skyrocket. I can build that school now in many countries. You are an ambassador. Don't lower your values. Don't compromise your standard. You represent a kingdom. See, things may be hard. Call headquarters. Don't compromise here. Call headquarters. Send signals up. Don't compromise. Many young ladies have lost their virginity because somebody threatened them on a job. Today they've lost that job and their lives have not improved. Many young men have stolen, compromised values that would have given them a standing in the days of ordination. Until today, they are still struggling. It's better to meet God in the fire than to meet Him in the palace. I won't go to a palace where I won't go with God. I would rather go to a fire where we meet God. Because that fire can become a palace. Stand up, let's pray. You are an ambassador. You are a king. You are a priest. You are a son. Weeping may endure for the night. If a joy cometh in the morning. Some of you are still in your night hour. It will not last for too long. I know you lost that job. And for the past 3 months, no new job has come. Don't regret it. Don't regret it. I wish I would have done it. By now, I would have returned my job. That's not a job. That's a prison. Don't regret it. I know you missed that business because you refused to compromise. Don't regret it. That business is not your source. God is your source. Are you ready to lift your hands and worship Him this evening? I want to speak a blessing over someone. Because some of you are about to climb up tonight. Let's receive Michael Seth to just lead us in worship for 5 minutes. Bring us the measure you brought from Zimbabwe. Wherever you are, just begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in tongues.
My helper, you are my helper. I saw you when they looked down on me, because you are my Lisa, my God, my Lisa, my Lisa. See morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto my call. So great is thy faithfulness, and great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, that is great is thy faithfulness. And morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Sing, I almost let go. My God, my God. There was a time I felt like I just couldn't take life anymore. Situations had me bound, and depressions weighed me down, but he kept me. So I won't let go. God's mercy kept me. I don't know about you, so I won't let go. So I'm here today, because God kept me. And my life today, only because of His grace, God kept me. He kept me. God must have kept me, so I won't let go. I fear no evil. By the water fill my heart with trust in you. My heart with trust in you. Though I walk through the valley floor, I will fear no evil. By the water still my heart will trust in you, Lord. Daddy, my heart will trust. When I am down and all my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdens me, my God, see, I am still waiting in the silence until you come. I am strong when I am.
right hand towards heaven.
I want you to close your eyes and just be still before the Lord. There are three categories of people that God wants to minister to at this time. The first category of people are those going through difficult times and you're almost at the verge of giving up. It's almost looking to you as if God has failed you. But tonight God is coming through for you. Because you are rediscovering your identity and you are breaking into a new level of authority. And there are about five of you that God will put his hand upon now as a sign of restoration to you as he opens you up to another dimension. Father, wherever they are amongst us, the time for that hardship to come to an end has come. Let grace be supplied now. Let grace be supplied now. Ushers, help me bring those people here. Touch!
We walk with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. And we don't and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I'll just help them. Ibuchuku ye dike, Ibu Alpha na Omega. Oye budo ni padu, malide ni ogu, ya kanji.
Category of people God is ministering to now are those who have been laboring. You have applied principles, you have worked hard, but the opportunities are stolen from you. It looks like your doors never come, and when you are about entering, it disappears. God is opening doors of opportunity. You have ideas, you have built systems, it looks like the breakthrough is not coming. This is your time. And there are three of you now that the hand of God, it will come on you like a garment of fire. It's a scepter. It's a scepter. Wherever you are standing, Sarakatea, Mendo Rabakatone, Falutai, Sakapara, Takatale, I release that grace. I release that garment. Hey!
Ibuchukwu ịdị mma. Ibuchukwu onye dị ike. Ibu Alfa na Omega. Onye kwuru onye ikpeazụ. Malite onye kwuru. Ya na ndị adị ibu chiwo.
Heaven, there is a rain of favor about to rest on people. I know the place of hard work, and I also know the place of favor. There's a rain of favor about to come on some people. Favor that opens doors of encounter, favor that occasion will transfer, favor that breaks protocols. Help mama there, wherever you are standing. By the Spirit of God, let it begin to rest on you. Your garment is being changed. Your garment is being changed. Favor, favor, favor. Like it was on the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt with fortune. Like it was on Mary. He opened the heavens for encounter. Like it was on Esther. Protocols were suspended. Wherever you are standing now, take.
Oh, babe.
Please help them, Usher. Bring those of them on the altar now. Those God is imparting favor. It's a garment. It's a garment. It will open doors. It will create opportunities. It will break protocol. Marietta, Telelano, Savak. Let it rest. Let it rest. Touch. Marietta, Tetetale, Manta, Caparo. In the spirit of favor, receive, receive. Bring those ones on the altar. Bring them on the altar. You have labored, you have struggled. Forces are resisting you. Now I come to you by grace and by the anointing. Let favor rest now. On ground, online. Your career, your ministry, your business. I release the force of favor.
Until the day I see my King. Yes,
La Roda Barabaka Tony Apata. Let the Barokana Talish. Talish, Talish, Talish.
Until the day I see my King.
Mete Makona, Mete Makona. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever infirmity you came here with, in the name of Jesus, I take authority and I command it to get out of your body now. The Lord is showing me somebody by my right here. You are feeling a sharp pain on your chest. It's like they are piercing something down from your chest into your stomach. This is by the right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. First 5 row on your chest. The Lord is removing that arrow. Mama, you are the one. I command that arrow. Come out of her body. Please help her. Bazanji kunyaba ete makona bazanji toro ete makona. I'm seeing a young lady. It's like what you are wearing, there's a touch of yellow on it. This is somewhere around the middle towards the back there. You are having issues with taking in. This is pregnancy related. In fact, there was a time your stomach was swelling. It looked like you were pregnant, but it's not pregnancy. The devil is attacking your fertility. I just saw that like a trance. God is healing that person now. Who is that person? I just saw a quick flash. This has to do with taking in. I don't know if you are the one or you are standing from someone, but I saw that flash very fast. This person, what I saw is like there's a little touch of yellow. Something like that, greenish, deep yellow or something. I can't. But this is pregnancy related. Are you the one? You are the one. That affliction is leaving you now. I take authority right now. You devil of infertility, take your hands off her. Receive the grace now. Go and carry your child. Touch in the name of Jesus. You are free. Go and give birth. Mete makona, mete makona, bazanji kunyaba, mete makona. Somebody around here, from the 5th row to about the 11th row there, it's like you're having a kneecap challenge. I don't know what, whether it's an accident, but I see God healing somebody. It's like a circumference there, healing somebody of a knee challenge. Who is that person? Let me just lay hands on you fast. This is knee. Come. The fact is that you feel pain. But the reality is that by his stripes you were healed. So I bring you healing. Touch! Go! Jesus' name. Same affliction. Touch! Lift your leg. Lift it up. Walk round. Walk round. You are free. Walk, my sister. You are free. Somebody was diagnosed of kidney stones. This person is less than 30. Kidney stones. I just heard that now. This person is less than 30. I don't know what affliction,
the devil has chosen to bring upon you, but wherever you are, please come quickly. Let me lay hands on you. And you feel that pain there. And I'm also hearing somebody with a hernia growth. A hernia growth. This hernia person is about 23, 24. And then somebody is diagnosed with a kidney stone. Where are you? Please come quickly. Let me lay hands on you fast. Let's arrest that situation. And you are free from that pain as we end the service. Okay, Apostle Lawa is there. Go, let him lay hands on you quick. Go there. Go
You're
there.
The
let them
God
lay hands on you.
Who opens doors, no man can shut.
You are not a man.
No one like you, but no one like you, Jesus. No one like you, no one like you, Jesus. You're the God of everything. No one like you.
This is August. It's our month of speed. God is about to move somebody many, many, many miles ahead of your generation. It's a grace. It said the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab. In the name of Jesus, receive speed. I've seen somebody, this is towards my left. You are in the army. I think this is the army. You are uniform personnel. You escaped death just last month. I don't know what the devil is doing around you, but you will not die. I want to lay hands on that person now. This somebody, uniform personnel. It's like you escaped death. This is like a month ago. The Lord will have me lay hands on that person. Maybe at the end of the service, come to the front here because of the sensitivity of your job. Let me lay hands on you. And then that affliction leaves you forever in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Speed requires favor. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus, may favor suspend protocols for you. May favor open doors for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, speed demands that packages are lifted off you. And so every yoke you have carried until now, they are terminated in the name of Jesus. I said they are terminated in the name of Jesus. Speed requires help. Receive the help of God. Receive the help of angels. Receive the help of men. In the name of Jesus Christ. Speed requires stamina. By the power of the Holy Ghost, your strength will not be placed. He said, when they run, they shall not be weary. When they walk, they shall not faint. Receive strength now. Receive strength now. Speed requires focus. Everything that brings distraction to your life, they are uprooted now. I said they are uprooted now. They are uprooted now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, speed requires flexibility. In the name of the Lord Jesus, anything that holds back, anything that pulls back, anything that draws back, I cut them off your life. I cut them off your life. I cut them off your life. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. And let a special anointing be released upon you this month. Let it come upon your ministry. Let it come upon your career. Let it come upon your business. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. Except the Lord build the city, they build in vain. In the name of Jesus, beyond human strength, receive divine ability. Receive divine ability. From inspiration to wisdom to favor to empowerment, they are yours. I said they are yours. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. You will not receive any bad news this month.
You are exonerated from the forces of darkness. You are lifted by the invincible hand of God. The Bible says, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. In this month, you are prospering. And beyond, you are prospering. In Jesus' mighty name. He said, you were a desolate land. He said, no man went through you. He said, I have made you an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. In the name of Jesus, you are made the joy of many generations. Come on, shout! Give the Lord the shout! First, it was fragrant. Then it turned to fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battle. First it was fragrant. Then it turned to fire. My worship is my weapon. This is how I win my battle. First it was fragrant.
First it was fragrant.
Then it turned to fire. My worship is my weapon. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been blessed? Take your seats in God's presence. In about 3-4 minutes, we'll be out of here. This is just to remind us, we are in the month before our conference. The clouds are gathering, the clouds. They are gathering for the great convocation. Will be converging under the canopy, the auspices of the Holy Spirit, to be empowered and to be moved to the next level. Glory to God. Can we project the flyer? 24th to 27th is our maiden conference in Abuja. And we want to use this opportunity to invite everybody who wants an encounter with God. This is your place of visitation. Glory to God. By the mercies of God, we have seasoned voices to bring us the counsel of God. You know, this lineup was deliberately curated. The first man by the left there is a patriarch, one that we look up to, is the father over us, and he doesn't just know the kingdom, he manifests the kingdom. So you will see kingdom manifested through him. And then you have another father of faith there who is a teacher. He will teach you the rudiments, the secrets of the kingdom. So he will communicate it not only in power but in doctrine. Praise God. And then the next man there is an apostle in the marketplace. That's the owner of Premium Trust Bank. So he knows kingdom in the marketplace. So he's bringing us the dimension of the kingdom in the market. And of course, the next man there, Pastor Anthony Delaney, is a cross-cultural apostle. He teaches discipleship at different levels, transcontinental. So he's bringing us cross-cultural dimension of kingdom. So it's a fully packed conference to equip you to represent God wherever you find yourself. And of course, you know this season's music ministers, they carry different horns, different dimensions. They will all be here to bless us. People are coming from all around the world. So I want you to prepare for this meeting prayerfully. It's going to be a season of transition for us. Glory to God. So you have to begin to prepare your heart and prepare prayerfully. I must receive something in the course of this meeting. Glory to God. And then give towards it. Don't just sit down and watch how it will happen. It will happen.
But when it happened, let it be on record that it happened because you were a part of it. Glory to God. So you pray, and then you give, and then most importantly, plan to attend. Glory to God. So that you receive your own portion. By this week, our flyers, our billboards will be out, and the momentum is already building. Spread the word and make sure it's a moment of encounter that will have eternal implication. Glory to God.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676766055. +233 2676766055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.